You're listening to a message that we hope will help you grow and have a deeper relationship with God and others.
Good afternoon. Are you doing well? Great. It's good to see you. Let me just get right to it today. I'd like to start by telling you a story. Something that happened to me not too long ago, and then we'll go to the Word. Not long ago, I was on the staff of a university, and I was part of the administrative staff and security and so on, and I got a call, an emergency call one day, that I needed to rush to a building and address a problem there. So I, quickly as I could, I got to this building. When I walked in the door, a very strange scene greeted me. I stepped in a door, and there was suddenly a man to my right who was screaming at me that he was going to sue me, he was going to sue my mother, he was going to sue the university. Now, my mother had passed away, so I thought that was going to be an interesting lawsuit. I wasn't sure how that was going to happen, but he kept screaming at me. So I turned my attention from him. To the left was a woman who was going like this, and she was screaming, as you know, just wailing. And I kept looking at the man and looking at the woman. I couldn't figure out what was going on. Finally, I looked around them, and I saw a great big candy machine like we have in the States. Maybe you have them here. And there was a little boy who had his arm stuck in the candy machine. And so I figured out that's why this must be the father. He's screaming at me, you know, planning his lawsuit against my mother in heaven, whatever. And here's the, you know, here's the mother. She's wailing and everything. And here's the boy. He's screaming. Everybody's screaming. The ambulance is coming. The security, other security is coming. People with guns are coming. Like, that's going to help. And so finally I thought, well, I can't deal with these two screamers. So I went over to the boy and began to kind of look at him. He had blood coming down his arm, and he was screaming. With his other hand, he was beating the candy machine. I mean, it was an upsetting scene. And so while everybody's milling around, I finally decided to kind of see if I could get his arm out, and I felt his arm, and then it occurred to me. And I said, "Son, let go of the candy bar." He wasn't stuck. He had a death grip on a Snickers. And he had reached up the machine. He was grabbing the Snickers. Everybody assumed he was stuck because he was screaming and bleeding, but he wasn't stuck. He was just grabbing something up in the machine. Things are not always as they appear, are they? Things are not always as they appear. And that little truth, that silly little truth coming out of that great truth coming out of that silly little story, reminds me of how things used to appear to me before I was a Christian. You know, you look at the world when you're not a Christian, before you are born again, before you know the Scriptures, and you see the world, and you just see it with the natural eye, don't you? Things just look a certain way, and you assume that's the way it is. And then you read your Bible. Then you get saved, you read your Bible. I remember the first time I saw a rainbow after I was born again. Now, I'd probably seen 100 rainbows in my life before that moment, but after I was born again, I saw the rainbow, and I remembered that God said that he had made the rainbow to tell us that he would never flood the earth again. So now, rather than being, you know, a jock who just went, "Hey, it's a rainbow," I'm like, "It's a rainbow from God, you know, it's awesome, I love him," you know, and my friends are, you know, leaving me quickly. Then, you know, they used to just be stars, right, in the heavens. You just, there they are, they're stars, they're rocks that somehow are on fire, whatever, you know. That's kind of your attitude before you're born again. Then you become a Christian and read the Bible, and God put the stars in the heavens, and they have a reason and a purpose, and they rule over the night and the day, and you're like, well, maybe you're not like me, but I was like, these are the stars. You know, my friends thought I just lost my mind, you know, but I'm just so moved by seeing the world through new eyes. You know, you go to the beach, the waves are coming up on the beach, and you know, before you're a believer, you just go, well, that's the way it is. And then later, the Bible says that God determines exactly how far the waves should come. So I remember being about, you know, 15 minutes old in Jesus, standing at the ocean and going, that's awesome, God determined that, you know, and I'm edging my toes up, so, you know. You should be glad I'm not the freaky little new Christian that I was years ago, that I'm a little bit better off. But the fact is that when our eyes are opened and we see through a biblical lens, we start to realize that all things have been created for him and by him, that Jesus holds all things together. Colossians chapter 1, 16 tells us that awesome truth. And Acts 17 tells us that in him we live and move and have our being. So the world looks different, and things that we are familiar with suddenly look different. It's not just a natural world. It's not just, you know, the things that we see with the eye. We realize what's behind it. We realize what God intended. We realize what it's really there for. And that brings us to our passage of Scripture for today as the beginning of this authentic series of Romans 13. So let's read Romans 13, which is an exciting and transforming, but also a very, very challenging verse. And let's read it together. Now, I don't know what version we're using here, but they switched. You see, this morning I said that I was using the NIV, God's version of the Bible. And I said, if you're using a communist version, that's fine. You just go right ahead. Well, see, they were using some communist version, I think, up there on the screen. And so they switched for me this morning. It was very kind. And I'm just playing, of course. So let's read in the International Version from Romans 1 to Romans 7. Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and you will be commended. For the one in authority is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid. For rulers do not bear the sword for no reason. They are God's servants. They are God's servants. Agents of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also as a matter of conscience. This is why you pay taxes, for the authorities are God's servants who give their full time to governing. Give to everyone what you owe them. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. Now, I can just picture someone saying, I came to church this morning to hear the good news of Jesus Christ, and this American gets up and tells me I have to pay taxes. How is that good news? But still, that's part of the word, and we'll come to that in just a moment. Let's look at this just maybe piece by piece. Beginning in verse 1, just a few sentences. Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. The authorities that exist have been established by God. What the Bible is teaching us is that all governing authority has been created and established by God. That God has put all authority in place. Now, I know that as you think about this verse and look out at the world, and think about this verse and look out at the world, it's a bit of a challenge because we want to believe God's word. We don't want to have opinions apart from God's word. We want our minds to be ruled by God's word. But we look at government and sometimes we think, wow, is that established by the Lord? Everything's established by the Lord, and that is what the scriptures say. It might comfort you to know that this verse was as difficult for those who were in the first century, who were hearing Paul for the first time, as it sometimes is for us. Paul wrote Romans in about 57 AD, and at that time there was a man in government by the name of Nero. You may have heard of Nero. Nero used to, a little bit later than this time, Nero used to put Christians up on poles and set them on fire just to illuminate his garden parties. Nero once made his horse a senator in the Roman senator. Nero was crazy and demonic. Still, though, the government of that time God had established and would use in ways that no human being could see at the time. And that is the exact truth. In fact, I'm really thankful that we don't just have this one verse from Paul in Romans 13 that makes this truth clear. Because if we did, we might argue about it or tiptoe around it, but we have a number of other moments in the Bible that make it very clear. Jesus could not have made it clearer that even unrighteous governments have authority from God and that God is working and using them. Do you remember when Jesus was being arrested and he was appearing before Pontius Pilate? What did he say to Pontius Pilate? You would have no authority over me if it was not given to you from heaven. Wow, Pontius Pilate was an evil man. He had murdered people in a nearby town and mixed their blood with the sacrifices of the people to God. He was violent. He was soulless. Remember in the dialogue with Jesus, he says, what is truth? He's cynical. But Jesus looks at him and says, you would have no authority over me if it wasn't given to you by God. There's another episode that also confirms this truth that's sometimes difficult for us. We have to wrestle with a bit. And it was in the life of Paul. There's a moment at the end of the book of Acts where Paul is before the Sanhedrin and somebody hits him. And for some reason, he turns to the high priest, but he doesn't recognize it's the high priest. And he says, you whitewashed wall, which I'm sure you've never turned to somebody and said, you whitewashed wall. But what it means is, you hypocrite. And so Paul turns and says, you whitewashed wall, you hypocrite. And everybody in the room goes, why? Because then somebody says, that's the high priest. And Paul goes, oh, brothers, I'm sorry. I did not know it was the high priest. I would not have spoken evil of him, because the Bible says, do not speak evil of the ruler of your people. So both Jesus and Paul affirm this truth, that not only does God establish all authority, but he has even established the authority of unrighteous rulers, because it is fulfilling his will in the earth. It's not easy for us to understand, but that is the truth. And I'll tell you what, not only must we believe this because it's the truth of Scripture, but I would suggest to you that it actually gives us a lot of hope. Because the reality is that if you see a tyrannical government, or you see an evil government, or even a good government, I don't want to believe that the only thing there is human authority and human beings making decisions. It encourages me to know that while I don't quite understand how God gives authority to even unrighteous government, that all governing authority is from God, it excites me that God is at work in government, that he is behind it, and that he is doing great things in the earth. You understand what I'm saying? We look at the Old Testament, and there are all these prophetic statements. God does as he wills with the peoples of the earth. He sets kings up, and he deposes them. He uses kings to do his will. There's a great verse that says he guides the heart of kings like a water course. Our modern word might be a hose, a garden hose. Now, I know we can't always see this truth in our eyes and in our news, but it is a truth from the Bible that is clear. God, there is no governing authority that God has not established. That's principle number one, okay? Principle number two, or point number two, is this. The Bible says in verse 4, for the one in authority is God's servant for your good. He's God's servant for your good. Even if he's not acting like it, he's called to be God's servant for your good. You know, all throughout Christian history, all throughout the history of the church, people have said this, that church and state are like in faith, but separate in function. What does that mean? Both the state and the church are called and ordained by God, but they have separate functions. And the fact is that according to the Bible, those who carry the authority in government, those who are the governing leaders, are as called as pastors are. As called as pastors are. They have a calling before God. And I'll tell you what, this changes the whole thing. It changes the whole picture. I can't tell you how many times I have been in the office of an unrighteous ruler, of a tyrant, or somebody in elected office who was wicked in some way. I work a lot in the Middle East and with governments there, and also in the States, and I've been in a lot of these offices and so on. And I have said to people many times, this is how it'll sometimes go. I'll come in, this person knows that I'm not really with them, and sometimes they'll greet me with a cynical statement, so you're here to chastise me or tell me how evil I am. And I have said, no. Sir, I believe that God put you in your position. I believe that you are called to be a servant of God to do the people good. And I honor you. And I am not here to chastise you. I'm here to see if I can help you be a servant of the living God. And do you know, hard-hearted, evil tyrants have actually broken down in tears time and again. Why? Because I believe being called by God in that situation where they're in government, they know there's something. They know there's something else they're meant to be accountable to. They know that they didn't get there by themselves. They know that some force has put them there, and that that force calls them to something more, something better, that they're meant to be better than they are. I've hardly had anyone not just break down and cry. And I think the reason is that they constantly have a sense that they are meant to be better and more. They are meant to be better and more. God is at work. And I want to say one little thing that I'll say repeatedly. I'll say it again before we finish here, and I hope it's a big encouragement to you. I only mention my role in all of this because I want you to know that I've been standing there. I've been in the White House. I've been in the palaces. I've been in the sort of king's courts. And I want you to know and be encouraged today by this truth. God is always doing more than you know. Come on. I attend a large African-American church. You're going to have to be a little black with me today and celebrate. God is always doing more than you know. Don't think that you could watch CNN or Fox or, you know, no insult to anybody, but your local news, and that somehow that's telling you the counsel of God. That's telling you what people see. But God is doing amazing things. I'll tell you more in a little while, but time and again, people who are tyrants or known or thought to be evil and are not doing good things in their position, when I show up in their office, and other people too, not just me, many, many people do this, they show up in their office. I've had people who are internationally known to be evil meet me at the door and say, I'm glad you're here. They go and get their Bible and they say, I was reading this last night. Can you tell me what this means? And I'm thinking, you killed a bunch of people last week. I came in here just having to hold my nose to walk into your office suite, you know, and here you are pondering scripture. And every so often, even because I say this phrase to people all the time who get discouraged about government, every so often I feel like the Lord, his finger's like a woodpecker. Hey, you know, I'm doing more than you know. He is. He is. So we must believe what scripture says. There is no authority except that which God has established, and those in governing authority are servants of God, even if they don't know it, sent to do good. Well, let's look at point three. It says, consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted. The word rebel here means like maybe you line up a military force against another military force. Doesn't mean we can't disagree on certain issues. Doesn't mean we can't dislike something that's been said in a speech by a government leader. Doesn't mean we have to like everything or agree with it. It does mean that to fundamentally and as your life position and attitude to oppose government, to oppose its authority, to be opposed to government in general and to the idea of authority in government is to be a rebel. And look what the Bible says. Consequently, whoever rebels is rebelling against God, and they will bring judgment on themselves. There's a curse that sort of comes when you are positioned constantly in your heart and mind against the idea of governmental authority. Verse 3, so for rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and you will be commended. Now, I don't want you to take this to an extreme. We all know that sometimes in some lives, there are moments where we have to, as Peter said in the book of Acts, obey God rather than man. Even the illustrations of these women in Moses' life that Pastor Joey was telling us about earlier, these are women who disobeyed the authorities. These are women who disobeyed the governing authorities in Egypt and what have you. So there are moments, there are times. Thank God for those who oppose the Nazis. Thank God for those who have opposed at certain times. And there are those moments that will come, and may you have wisdom if they come in your life. But that is not the same thing as essentially being a rebel and opposing the idea of authority having, of government having authority, and certainly disbelieving in the idea that God establishes governing authorities. It is important that we not be rebels. It is important that we not align ourselves against government leaders. It's important that we not bring a curse on ourselves. In fact, I actually believe that when the people of God position themselves based on God's word towards government, that the Lord begins to do dramatic things in that land. I think that honoring government, that believing God's word, and that, of course, praying as we ought for the government leaders can change society. In fact, let me shoot down to point four. I won't read the whole thing of this last portion, but essentially it says, but if you do wrong, be afraid, for rulers do not bear the sword for no reason, etc. And the very last verse is, give to everyone what you owe them. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. Let me talk to you about this honor principle for just a moment. You know, we believe and we see in Scripture an honor principle, and I see that you use it and your leaders use it, and our movement in every nation understands it. That even if someone's not perfect, even if someone is not everything you would want them to be, you still can find things to honor about them. And as you honor those things, as you speak those words of blessing and encouragement and draw out the good in them, the good increases. You bless them. You know, your children. I don't know about you, those of you who are parents. I know it's Mother's Day, so I don't want to slap children around. But I have two children who are wonderful now, but there was a demonic phase. Do you understand what I'm saying? There was a moment when the kingdom of the devil... No, I'm just playing. But, you know, and I remember with my son. My son, bless his heart, you know, had long hair, which I love, but he brought it down to his nose, you know, and then I'd have to reach in and part his hair to look at him, you know, and he would never talk to me, to look away, and then he'd mumble, you know, and I just wanted to, but I would strain, I would find the thing in his life I could honor. You know, you are good to stray cats. And I'd go, thank you, Jesus, I found something. You know, whatever. You took a shower. You know, just anything I could. And of course, you know, there are seasons like that. There are seasons like that sometimes in marriages and whatever. But, you know, you honor what you can. You bless what you can. And then it increases. And you affirm what you can. Well, the honor principle is not some manipulation, you know, but it's finding what you can to honor. And I, again, part of the reason they asked me to share this teaching, which normally would be done by one of your pastors, is that I have some experience at these things, and a little bit more maybe than you know, most folks sitting in churches. And I remember once that I was going into the office of a really internationally known tyrant. And as I was flying to see him, I remember on the plane just, you know, Jesus, show me anything to honor in this guy. I didn't want to walk in and give him false compliments, but, you know, I mean, what I also didn't want to do is step in the room and just ask Jesus to strike him with lightning. You know, I wanted to have some, you know, that didn't feel like righteous to me. So I walked in, and this guy, who's just a huge tyrant, I don't feel comfortable telling the name, but huge tyrant, had recently... A village somewhere in rural regions had a epidemic come through, and he had out of his own pocket, funded the restoration and food and all that kind of thing. And it was, you know, it may have been a little showy. I don't know. I don't know what the details were, but he had done it, and I had confirmed it. So when I walked in, I said, sir, you know, you and I, you know that I don't agree with much of what you do, but I do want to say that I'm very touched by the compassion you showed to such and such a village. And I just, you know, as I've said to you before, that, you know, your God has put you where you are, and you are meant to be a servant of the Lord, and I want to help you however I can become more of a servant of the Lord and be compassionate as you were that day. I was so proud of myself getting it out, you know, without saying, and die, you know, or something, just crazy, go crazy. He falls to his knees and bursts into tears. Now I've got a problem, you know, because I'm wanting to just slap him, you know, but you know, so I held him and hugged him, and I'm thinking to myself, you know how sometimes you're doing something, you're in the moment, but there's this other you over here going, what the heck is going on? You know what I mean? Just, how did this happen? I'm holding a tyrant while he gets tear stains on my shirt, you know. And the reality is that every person is made in the image of God. Most of these people are wrestling, if they're in a governing a position of governing authority, they're wrestling with who they are, who they're made to be, whether they're good, whether they're bad. That's why a tyrant, you can walk in and a tyrant can be reading the Bible, you know. And our job is simply to acknowledge God's truth and pray and stand back and see the salvation of the Lord. He will remove them. He will put them in place. He will use them. He will put them in place and then harden their heart so that people can leave Egypt. He will shift them around. He'll raise one up and put up. You know, God is doing what he wants to do. He's doing what he wants to do. So he establishes all authority. These authorities, these people in authority, are intended to be servants of God for good. We are not to rebel, but we are to honor as best we can. And if I may say this also, we also have to battle the cynicism that comes from seeing things not going the way that we want them to go. When I'm in Washington, D.C., you know, I mean, I just joke with the Lord, why don't you just torch the place and get it over with? You know, why don't you just, I mean, really, just, I mean, of course, that's not kind, but, you know, I'm just impatient, and I want to move on now, but that's not how it is. We are looking at the back of the tapestry. You ever seen the back of a tapestry of an artistic weaving? It's got sticks and strings, and you can't tell what everything is until you go around to the other side of the tapestry and see what the artist intended. In this life, you're always looking through a glass darkly. In this life, you're always looking at the back of the tapestry. God's doing more than you know. So trust him. Trust him. Doesn't mean you have to be cynical. And there are going to be moments when you'll have to resist some corruption or figure out what to do in the moment. I know this is not, you know, what I'm saying does not give you the exact plan for every moment that you engage with government. But fundamentally, we must believe what the Bible believes, and I believe that as we do, God will go to work. Let me give you a final thought here that I hope will be a bit more of encouragement, and it's a strengthening of what I said a few moments ago. I love the story of Elisha in the Old Testament, where the prophets are being killed, and Jezebel's going crazy, and Elisha's out in the woods somewhere, and what he's saying is, God, I am the only one who's righteous. Here I am alone. There's no one in this land who's holy. Oh, God, you know. And because I have a goofy sense of humor kind of imagination, I don't know if you know who Jim LaFoon is. He's a brother in this movement. He's one of my best friends, but I love to pick on Jim LaFoon. So I envision Jim LaFoon sitting on a hill with his bucket of chicken, just going, Jesus, no one's as holy as I am. And there's no other prophet, you know, of course, that's just me having fun. Well, the Bible says that while Elisha is out saying, Lord, there's no one holy, there's none righteous, the Bible says that while this was going on, there was a man named Obadiah. He's not the one of the book, but he's a man named Obadiah, and he's the palace administrator. He's running the king's palace. And the Bible says Obadiah was a devout believer in the Lord. While Jezebel was killing off the Lord's prophets, Obadiah had taken 100 prophets and hidden them in 2 caves, 50 in each, and supplied them with food and water. So there is Elisha out in the boondocks, out in the sticks, in the rural areas, or up on a mountain somewhere. He's going, God, I'm the only one. And there's a devout believer named Obadiah who's put 100 prophets in caves and is feeding them. So there are 100 prophets that Elisha doesn't know about while he's crying out to God to destroy, by the way, the king's palace where this believer is. And here's what I want to say to leave you with encouragement. We have to have our consciences constrained by what Romans 13 says. We have to believe this. We are believers in Jesus Christ. This is his word. But the good news is we don't know everything that's happening. I've been to the Philippines 6 or 7 times. I think this is my 7th trip I counted. And often my trips have to do with government and meeting with leaders and so on. I'm very thrilled. Of course, this is my home church here. And so I've met with your president, and I've met with many, many of your congresspeople, and I've met with other governing authorities. I'm no expert. But let me tell you, you have in various places in your government righteous believers who are called by Jesus and know it and are praying and serving the living God. You do. And you don't know what's happening. You don't know fully what's happening. Yes, be politically active. Yes, you know, contend for what you believe. Yes, of course, that's all fine. But don't assume you know what God knows. Here's again the phrase I use. God is always doing more than you know. Always doing more than you know. And this is also true, and I'll close just with this kind of wrap up. I never will forget the day that I was, Joey said, I'm on Fox a lot and some other channels, and I was in the green room watching TV, and they were doing this story about how these two famous American politicians, I won't name them, hated each other. And how, you know, if both of them were in Washington, D.C. at the same time, the city would crack in half. You know, they were just making this big thing. Well, let me tell you that just the week before, at a citywide prayer meeting, I had seen both of those politicians, who disagree about almost everything political, on their knees, holding hands, in tears, praying to Jesus. Now, I'm not saying that means that our government is all Christian and these people are, probably the next day they were screaming at each other on the floor of the Senate. But what was sure is God was doing more than the Fox Channel knew. God was doing more than the people watching Fox knew. And I'm not picking on Fox, I'm a regular commentator on Fox. And what we need to do is humble up, trust God, pray, and let him do awesome things. Our role is to know he establishes government, to know governing leaders are meant to be servants of God, to not be rebels, and to honor as best we can. Father, we thank you for the great work you are doing in this nation. We thank you for all the signs of your hand and your increase. And, you know, you, in the States, I could have lived 40 years ago and heard almost nothing about the Philippines. Now it's almost all the time. You're doing something here. You're doing something here. Put us in alignment with your heart and your word regarding government. Guard us from cynicism. Guard us from anger. Guard us from the heart of the rebel. Let us honor as we can and as we are called to. And we boldly pray that you will pour out your spirit upon everyone from the president on to all of the government. Whether they are people of our choosing or our political preference or not, we pray for them. We intercede for them. We ask you to draw them to yourself and do a mighty work as you heal this land and pour out your truth in this place. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone said, amen.
Thank you for listening. More messages are available for download from joeybonifacia.com. It is our hope that you will have a deeper relationship with God and others.